The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour has arrived. We appreciate you being a part of the program. And I know a lot of people come in at different times, but it has been an extraordinarily busy day in intercollegiate athletics. Stop me if I've said that before. But let's go over some of the events of this day that started early this morning with the Big Ten announcing when it would begin. And if you're keeping score at home, this will give you a headache. The ACC, which will release its story early tomorrow morning, will start as early as September 7th. Big 12 has not announced conference play yet, but at least two of their schools are starting on August 29th, Kansas and Oklahoma. The Big Ten will start Thursday night, September 3rd. Pac-12 and SEC, not until September 26th. We have not seen the schedules of either. You would have to think common sense would say we'll see them soon. The American and the Sun Belt on August 29th. So we're talking about almost a month difference between the first conference beginning and the last, which includes the SEC and the Pac-12. Big Ten players followed the Pac-12 players today with a statement. I'll quote part of it. "We are deeply disappointed with the lack of leadership demonstrated by the NCAA. These are college kids saying it. With respect to player safety during COVID, we believe that the NCAA must, on its own and through collaboration with the conference, devise a comprehensive plan to ensure the safety and well-being of players leading up to and during the upcoming fall season." The NCAA, which is known for its zeal for regulations and enforcement, has had ample time to prepare for the safe return of its athletes to competition, yet it has done nothing. Its laissez-faire approach is forcing each conference and each school to create its own plan, resulting in inconsistent policies, procedures, and protocol. By the way, it would have been nice to hear from the adults on that versus the kids. Their proposal calls for oversight and transparency, adherence to World Health Organization and CDC guidance for sporting event, and compliance with all federal, state, and local statutes and regulations. In testing three times a week, that is an NCAA proposal, with immediate quarantine for any person who tests positive or exhibits symptoms, whistleblower protection, that's extremely important, and scholarship and eligibility protections for players who opt out. So the NCAA Board of Governors, the most do-nothing group in the world, has released its own guidelines, and some of them include division and determined status of fall sports, whatever that means. That means that the Division I will wait till August 21st. 1, 2, and 3 have already canceled. Activity must follow the return to sport guidelines by the NCAA Sports Science Institute. It's like reading science fiction. Schools must adhere to federal, state, and law, like they weren't going to, by the way. Student athletes allowed to opt out due to COVID concerns, and no student athlete waivers as conditions. So why are the students making more sense than the college president? And why did it take young people to call out the NCAA? I mean, wouldn't it be nice to hear that from the people that actually run college athletics? So that's where we are. We have heard from two of the five student bodies of the student athletes of the Power Five conferences. Also today, Louisville paused its workouts due to 29 positive tests. The reports out of Kentucky said that the players did what? They went to a party. Let's get to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Logan is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Logan.
Hey, Paul. Hello, Kimo Sabi. How you doing today?
Okay, Lone Ranger. How are you?
You're the Lone Ranger, Paul. Man, you're keeping it real. Every time I call in, I swear I have something I want to talk about. And then when I hear the callers, it always changes up. So
Tonto, who was that masked man?
Johnny Depp, I think. At some point, I don't know how that happened, but we won't get into that weird stuff. No, I was just going to say, I've got a unique perspective because based on a few of the callers before, I'm actually married to a Canadian, believe it or not, and yeah. I was born in rural Alabama, so I have an option or an idea of both worlds. First of all, I will say that both callers are really great. Canadians are... They are the most patriotic people you'll ever meet, Paul. I don't know if you've met a lot of them, but they love their country, and they should. It's really great.
No, I have some Canadian. I have some relatives in Toronto, so I have some experience with Canadians, and they're great people.
Yeah, they're great, and they love their country. But I do think there are some, you know, just like Northerners back in the day, like, you know, there was preconceived notions about the South. But I think Shannon. I don't know. Every time he calls, I feel like he's trying to talk you into agreeing with what he believes. You know, I think he's like, he has a preconceived notion. I think maybe he should get out and meet a little bit, you know, travel a little bit, meet some other people, see different ideas, because I don't think he would have the same idea. I mean, nobody's persecuting white people in this country. That's insane. It's a fact. The southern states have done really bad, really poorly after everything came down. Like, we have not really been doing a good job. You know, I live in North Carolina. I'll be the first to say, you know, our governor put the mask mandate in. It was one of the first people to do it. But even now here, we're not doing that great of a job. So, you know, I feel like at this point, we can do a lot better, Paul. What do you think?
Well, the problem with this virus, Logan, is what you hear every day on this program and every other program in America. There is a national divide on the seriousness of it, and it is mostly along ideological lines. So, you know, why is that? It's not hard to figure out why that is. And sadly, we're still dealing with something that probably should be over by now.
I mean, it definitely should be reduced by now, Paul. I mean, by
being over, I don't mean
vaporized. Right.
I mean that yeah. we should be able to have college football. We should be able to go back to school.
Exactly.
We should be able to be out normally without everyone being in a panic.
So one thing I want to say, that caller from California, that really was depressing. I mean, I really hope that's not going on, Paul. And I mean, that if that's going on and people are bullying college athletes, that really disturbs me. So I don't know how much.
I don't know if it's pervasive, but Shannon, I do believe it's going on. I really do. I mean, excuse me, Logan. I didn't mean to call you Shannon.
No, hey, okay. I'll let it go this time, Paul. But no, so let me ask you one more question, Paul. If somebody opts out of the top five Power Five conferences, who will be the first to opt out? I just want to get your opinion on that.
There has been a great debate about that. Would it be the Pac-12? A lot of people thought it would be the Pac-12 originally. Right now, my money would be on the Big Ten.
Exactly. The big pretend is what I call them. Like what they've been pulling lately is just, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I think it's not, if you listen to the word, and we haven't really heard much of him, but we've read, but Kevin Warren, the new commissioner, he's been there about a year, took over for Jim Delaney. He has been the most piercingly honest in terms of the possible shutdown of the season than any commissioner I have heard.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are saying, like, maybe he'll get kudos, maybe it'll further his career if he does do it. And it could be the right thing. I'm not saying it's
not. Yeah, but right now, I don't think there's a right answer. I mean, the SEC has been criticized by some people within the footprint for delaying it until September 26th. But on the other hand, Logan, by delaying it to September 26th, they get to watch for 3.5 weeks to see how everyone else does it.
Exactly. So why would – I mean, I thought that was a great – I really had to give kudos to SEC for doing that personally. I thought it was a great decision when that came out. I know it's going to hurt. We talked about it last week, not having these interconference games with some of the rivalries from the states, but at the same time, I mean, they have to do what they have to do, you know. And
well, you can, and I know that if you're a football coach, you know tonight you're probably going, why are we? You know, when you start hearing rumors about your opponents, you go into a tizzy. But ultimately, the most important thing this year is to make sure you get a season started with a semblance of safety, and you can't worry about some of the things that you worried about last year, and will be worried about next year.
Exactly. And do you think that if anybody of the major five opt out, that any other of the conferences will go on playing?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at college football, Logan, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are married in many respects. The Rose Bowl tie-up, there's a lot of commonality between the two. So I think of the other three. Now, if the Big Ten suddenly called it quits in 2 weeks, it would put enormous pressure on everyone else, because every time you see, you know, I mean, I've had people say, well, what about Division III? What about Division II? It is a bad look that everyone else is continuing, but the difference is financial. Division II,
right.
Division III schools, and by the way, a lot of the lower level Division I don't have the money. It costs an enormous amount of money to test, to have protocols. And they're just basically saying, we can't do it. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We are coming back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. Great to have everyone here. And Kevin is up next in North Carolina. Kevin, thanks. Great to have you on.
Yay, Paul. Thanks for letting me visit again.
Thank you.
Wow, it's like meet the nation here today. because of time constraints, I'm going to have to run through all this. You know, you may have noticed yesterday the governor of Mississippi requested or asked for everybody in the state to wear masks, and then he cabooses a next sentence on there, if you want college football.
Right.
Well, I don't even know the governor's name, but he is
Tate Reeves. I know him because we've had him on our program. He was on a couple of months ago telling us how great the reopening of Mississippi had gone.
Right. Oh, sure. All right. So maybe he should have thought of this, that it would impact his state-supported schools. I'm talking Alcorn State, Mississippi Valley State, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Southern Miss. I mean, it would impact you economically, obviously. It would impact your universities. Maybe you thought about it. Maybe you should have worn these masks, months ago. As a layperson, Paul, we can't go into our basement, okay, put on a lab coat, put on some goggles, and get some RC Cola, some moon plies, barbecue sauce, and boiled peanuts, and come up with a come up with a vaccine. We can't do anything. So we got to trust the professionals in the medical and the scientific field. And they've been saying this for, what, months, to wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, et cetera. Why do you think, and I got to tell you, I mean, I said this before, I blame the South. Okay, I don't care who I offend. When you have 160,000 people now die from this virus in the last 6 months, and in 10 years in Vietnam, those brave men and women, you had 57,000 died. In 10 years, and we got 160 dead in 6 months because of this virus. You know, if you look at the demographics, the South is the most religious area of the country. And I don't care what that religion is, okay? I don't care if it's Zen Buddhism, okay? I'm connecting with the Southern man, Neil Young. I'm connecting the Southern man not to take this thing seriously, okay? I don't care who you follow, okay? I don't care what religion you are, Shannon, okay? Most of the South happens to be Baptist and Evangelical. Southern Louisiana is mostly Roman Catholic, where the population is. Basically, Gainesville, Florida down is Roman Catholic, okay? Southern Texas is Roman Catholic. But it doesn't matter the religion. How did this get to be a political thing? Well, obviously, D.C., the man running the country, and his loyal followers, these governors of these southern states. It's unbelievable how this got so messed up. It is a cluster, Paul. And why did this get this way? You know, it's unbelievable. You said it, the ideological references of this part of the country and that part of the country. You know, the Southern man's going to keep us from having football, because it came to the Northeast, like I said. It came to the West Coast, international traveling. The Southeast had the most time to prepare. They had the most current information. Most of the Southeastern states are flyover states. But you didn't have international traveling.
Allow me to jump in for a second, your comments are your comments. I've already said what I said. The issue, I think, is really more today. In the bubble that we're talking about, college football, I still think there is a tremendous disconnect. And you're hearing it from the players. I mean, just think about what we know today from what the Big Ten players have said. They're concerned as 17 to 22-year-olds about the protocols that they're experiencing every day. Now, that has nothing to do with the President of the United States or Southern governors or anything else. That's what they're seeing on the campuses that they go to school, whether it's the schools in the Big Ten or the Pac-12 or any other school for that matter, or any other conference for that matter.
Well, I heard you, but that's the cart in front of the horse. I mean, if this thing would have been, shut down, they wouldn't have had any voice, and nobody would listen to them.
I mean, I spoke to an epidemiologist the other day privately, and I said to him, what's the solution? And he said there's really only one solution, and that's to shut the entire country down for 4 to 6 weeks, and I think we could contain the virus. That's not going to happen. It's not even logical. That train left a long, long time ago. So what we're fighting now is we're trying to do it piecemeal, Kevin. And I'm not arguing with you. I'm just simply saying the mistakes that were made in March and April metastasized into April, May, and June. And to me, those were where the bigger mistakes were made. I say all of us just became nonchalant. We went back to work. We went back to the store. We went back to restaurants, and we still can't. I mean, some of the numbers are better. It depends on day to day, but we can't get rid of it the way we're doing it. But we're still going to do it, and we're still going to try to have college football, which is the subject we keep having here over and over again.
One more point, Paul. Who was the most influential people? When you go back to your date, okay, I agree, middle of May, end of May, beginning of June, when it, the most influential people in the South, obviously, was the clergy.
Absolutely.
Football coaches, yeah.
Absolutely.
There was the clergy. I don't care if it was Zen Buddhism
but,
out there.
But Kevin, let me say this in conclusion. When a large number of people never buy in, you're not going to change their minds. And in this particular case, there are still people in the media every single day who are arguing about the lack of severity of this disease, and they can you've seen it a million times. So as long as that debate is in full force, we are not going to solve the problem. Now, ultimately, we may get to the end of the rainbow and have a vaccine and have therapeutics, but I think we are still going to suffer a great deal. And I'm no longer really even capable of making predictions on what we're doing in the college football framework, because you can't argue with what I mean. The people that run college athletics are determined to have a season for good reason. Their financial survival.
Right. Well, of course, it's their financial survival, Paul. I'm just saying this thing should have been. I know it couldn't shut down completely, but we should have hung on to that pseudo shutdown for many more months.
Kevin,
okay?
Your argument is correct, but it doesn't matter anymore. And I don't want to act like I'm not involved. I mean, I could have gone into a hole for the last 5 months too, but I chose not to. Every time we put a program on, we're putting people at risk. But it's a risk that we feel comfortable with. Hey, I don't mean your points are good, but I guess at this point I'm more concerned about what we can do from this moment on than what we didn't do right or did do right over the last 5 months.
But somebody has to, if you have a 2-10 season, somebody's accountable for it, okay? Somebody is accountable for this cluster.
Well,
and we could have got it. We could be rocking along, and there wouldn't have been all this pressure from coaches, if you will, because they're going to lose their salary because they're not going to be a college football season. Okay, that comes into play, obviously, but it didn't have to be this way. But if you go 2-10 for a number of years, you have to be held accountable, and a coaching change.
Well,
one
thing about history, you learn hard lessons from it on both sides, and the history of this has not been written yet. Although I'm pretty sure, and I know you're pretty sure, Kevin, the way it's going to be written. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Always great to get the dialogue. We are coming to a break here, and we hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back, and I think everyone over these last 5 months knows that this program, we've tried very, very hard to do as normal a show as possible, but it's a little bit different than it was, where we used to interact with the control room quite often, well, pretty much every break. We are working hard to get back to that level, but we are still on a somewhat of a limited staff. I say all that because under normal circumstances, we would be able to zoom the camera right in to the control room and show the director of this program, who is Monica Belk, who has been with us many, many times. And today marks her 10th anniversary at ESPN, and we wanted to just take the opportunity to congratulate her. I'm saying that because she's in my ear constantly, so I have to be nice. Congratulations, Monica. I'm hoping to make it 10 years, I won't get myself or you in too much trouble for saying how did you last that long, but congratulations. Let's get back to the calls and talk to Randy in Mississippi. Good afternoon, Randy. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Paul. First time caller, long time watcher.
Thank you.
I was just calling. I guess Kevin from North Carolina kind of got me. I don't know.
By the way, Randy, you may not be alone in that, but go ahead.
I mean, we could sit up here, Paul, and say, we should have done this, and we should have wore masks, and you take the Iron Bowl a couple of years ago in the kick six. You think if Nick Saban knew Auburn was going to run it back for a touchdown, he'd have kicked it? No, he'd have went for it.
I agree. I don't think it doesn't matter what your political ideology is. I think it's futile to go back and blame what I mean. All you can do is talk about today. You can't. The mistakes.
That's right.
Every public official in this country, everyone made serious and grievous errors over the last couple of months.
Absolutely. And I'm going to say this one more comment, and I'll get off here. But you know, he was talking about religion, okay? Number one, Paul, it ain't about religion. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this country needs to remember who's in control. I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, God said, I want to be first. You put sports above me, I'll shut the sports down. You put your money in front of me, I'll crash the stock market. You put work in front of me, I'll shut the factories down. That's how what I believe. It ain't about religion. And until this country puts God first, you know, it is what it is. There's nobody to blame. You can't point fingers at Donald Trump. It ain't political. They make it political. But you think people in third world countries that's got coronavirus is worried about getting Donald Trump?
I heard somebody quote a statistic yesterday that this country is doing terribly and China only had 5 cases. I mean, how could you believe that?
I agree. Look, Paul, thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
I love you, listen,
I appreciate it. I'm happy you called. I want to make sure everybody is heard on this program, and that's very important. Steve is in Orlando, and you are on the air. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Paul, first time caller.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much, sir. Hey, I need to make a point, or a couple of points, if you'd allow me, all right? If we get beyond the players and the teams and the coaches and this COVID-19 to be able to even play a game, okay, what if we play football and you can't fill the stadium? It's like, okay, I was so looking forward to hosting Alabama at the Swamp with 30,000 fans. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It's like the excitement of college football is out the window. I mean, Kentucky, hosting Kentucky, 30,000 fans.
No, and you know something interesting about that, Steve? I mean, I know players who are, I mean, every player wants to play, but I don't think they quite realize what it's going to be like. I mean, I've watched the NBA every night it's been on. It's in your city. I'm sure you keep up with it. It's so different. And you know, maybe when we get to the playoffs, but right now I'm watching it and it's just like, where is everyone? Baseball is not quite as bad because most of the focus is on the players. But in basketball, you see the lack of crowd on every shot.
Yeah, but Paul, none of those venues are hosting fans. They have no fans.
No, absolutely. I'm looking forward to the golf tomorrow. I mean, golf. Tiger Woods coming down the stretch this weekend in the golf tournament. What makes it so exciting? It's the reaction of the fans to what he does.
Absolutely, I totally agree. I mean, I had tickets to Ole Miss, and I was looking forward to that venue, fantastic venue, and that may be taken away.
Well, I mean, right now, fretting about the number of people at a game—it's a moot point
right
now because it doesn't matter. But hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate your thoughts, and I hope you'll call again.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Great to have you on. Yeah, thank you, Steve. Steve is up next. Hey, Steve, you're on the air.
Hello, Paul. Appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you very much, Steve.
One thing I like about your show is that you will field calls that are not sports related. And yesterday afternoon, it's right before you signed off, there was a lady talking about a Bruce Hornsby show that she had attended, and I don't remember all the details, but I met Bruce in 1991, sort of a precarious situation. I drove Leon Russell's tour bus personally.
Oh my goodness.
Latter part of 1990 and early part of 91. And Leon lived in Hendersonville and had a house that had a studio. And he had another house that he was building out in Gallatin, about 30, 45 minutes up the road. That's where I stayed when we were going on the road. So Leon ceased to amaze me as far as some of the surprises he could throw at you at the last minute. And when we were on the road, I felt like I was out there with the Partridge Family house half the time, because he had his wife, three kids that ranged in age from 9 to 9 months, a housekeeper, and then his sound technician, who was called Nolan. So Leon called me one afternoon. He said, I need you to come out here and help Nolan take a new mattress upstairs to the guest house. And I said, okay. So I said, about what time? He said, I just... between 4 and 5 o'clock. So I got out there, and he had this huge mattress, and the guest house was nothing more actually than a two-car garage that was never used, and this a room upstairs which had not been used in probably 10 years. So Nolan and I manhandled this huge mattress up about, you know, two flights of stairs, and finally got it in there. It's about 115 degrees since it had not been opened. And so finally, we got the old mattress out. And I said, I didn't even know you used this place, Leon. You know, why are you putting a new mattress up there? He said, I got Bruce Hornsby coming in a couple of days. He's going to help produce a new album, which came out in 92, called Anything Can Happen. And I said, okay, cool. So I go on back to the farm, and my job description when I wasn't driving the Partridge Family from coast to coast or wherever, I basically helped Gene, his mechanic, out on the farm, and we lived out there. He had his own place, I had my own place. So a couple nights later, Leon asked me, well, since you have some home improvement experience, if Gene doesn't have anything for you to do, how about trying to put some of the cove molding and crown molding up on some around the doors and the base, and do some painting on some of these rooms. I said, okay, not a problem. So since the air conditioning was not hooked up, I did a lot of this at night where it was cooler. So about 10:30 one night, Leon and Bruce showed up. Leon wanted to show him the new house that was being built. And I said, well, okay, yeah, cool. So I met him, you know, hello, how you doing? And Leon's walking around the house, and he's looking at some of my work. And next thing I know, we're down in the den, and Leon looked at Bruce and said, hey, you mind jumping in and helping Steve rearrange some of this furniture? I just had to bite my tongue. It was like, well, he's asking a multi-million-dollar musician.
That is funny. Steve, I remember reading something about Elton John doing a record with Leon Russell, and just... What a big hero he was of all musicians of that era. Hey, thanks for sharing the story. That's a fabulous story. We appreciate it. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.